metal faithful. It is I, your mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And this is the Metal Hammer of Doom. We are heavy into covers month here. We're on our third covers album, as a matter of fact. We did BPMD, we did Ace Frehley, and now we're doing Yorn Land, if I'm pronouncing his name right, is a Norwegian hard rock and heavy metal singer and songwriter. He's known for his work with bands Ark, Beyond Twilight, Millennium, Vagabond, The Snakes, and most notably with power metal band Masterplan. And if you haven't heard Masterplan, get on the Spotify and get yourself some Masterplan, because it's phenomenal.
Not the same as Damage Plan.
No, different plan altogether. So we are doing one of his solo albums tonight. Of course, that voice you heard is my brother from another mother, my hetero life mate, the man who's going to spare me from having to talk this whole show since my mouth hurts still. Jesse Starcher, how you fucking do?
Iron Man Mark Rattledge, back here again to podcast until his mouth bleeds, ladies and gentlemen. This man is going above and beyond the call of duty tonight. He said, covers month goes on no matter what. Trust me, this man does not know when to quit. So I'm ready to talk some Yorn, doing some covers. Now, we're going back a little ways for this one, aren't we?
Yeah, so here's the deal. Like, I usually try to find enough covers albums for the year to cover the entire month of October. As it turns out, Yorn did Heavy Rock Radio June 3rd, 2016, and then this year, 2020, he did a sequel, Executing the Classics, Heavy Rock Radio. So I was like, all right, well, even though Ace Frehley also did a covers album, and we did, you know, there's just not enough weeks in the month, you know, we had to do BPMD also.
That's right.
So I figured, wouldn't it be fun if just for 2 weeks we covered both the Yorn albums? So this week we're doing his first one from 2016, and then next week we'll do Executing the Classics from 2020. Heavy Rock Radio is an album by Yorn Land solo project Yorn. It consists of cover songs from artists that inspired the singer to start his career in music. Yorn has previously released albums of cover songs in 2007 with the album Unlocking the Past, and in 2010 with his tribute to Ronnie James Dio. His name is Dio, and he dances on the sand.
I don't think that's how it goes.
On the album Dio, which if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to Yorn's Dio album, it's really good. I would highly recommend that, and I would also highly recommend getting into some Masterplan.
Okay.
So, have you had much experience with the Yorn?
No, not at all. This is the first time I've listened to this artist, and as far as I know, none of those bands that you listed he was involved in or associated with, no clue. So, yeah, this is the first time I've had a chance to experience Yorn.
Well, if you have an opportunity to listen to Masterplan between now and next week, I do so, and we'll talk about it on the next show.
Okay, very good.
All right. In the interest of time and pain, we're going to go ahead and medley these. We're going to do three at a time. We've got the list right up in front of here. We've got I Know There's Something Going On, originally by Frida, from 1982. Running Up That Hill, Baby, by Kate Bush. You know Running Up That Hill, right?
No, this is the first time I've ever heard that song.
Really?
Oh. I'm pretty sure. Now, then again, this is one of those nights where I kind of wish I went and listened to the source material, as it were, just to kind of make sure that I may have heard that song in passing. But when I hear this cover, it does not make me think of anything that I've heard before.
And then finally, in our trio of songs that we're going to hear first, we've got Rev on the Red Line by Foreigner. Jesse, are you a jukebox hero?
I love some Foreigner, man. This is one of the songs, though, that I'm not... I can't say that I've listened to a whole lot. So it's kind of feels like a deep cut for me when it comes to Foreigner. But yeah, I could probably tell you, if you name the top 10 Foreigner songs, I've heard all of them.
I was supposed to go see Foreigner with my daughter. We were going to see Foreigner, Kansas, and Europe.
Oh,
but then
wow.
COVID happened.
Damn it.
They didn't even postpone it. They just outright canceled that son of a bitch.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's sad. I mean, that is a lineup too. Those are three great bands that have some very, very iconic songs in classic rock history.
I was ready to rock out with my cock out to some Jukebox Hero.
Jukebox Hero is such a great song.
I mean, granted, I would have been in mixed company. I would have had to put it back in my pants, but for that one, one time, the Jukebox Hero, I just would have been standing at attention. You know how
don't
we
play
do.
The song anymore. Never again. Porter says we've struck it from the list since that concert that Mark Radulich was at.
Jukebox villain, his cock was out. Jukebox.
Oh, no. They've changed the song. We've got new lyrics for you, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. It hurts to laugh. All right, here we go. All right, we got I Know There's Something Going On, Running Up That Hill, and Rev on the Red Line. So the big complaint we had about Ace Frehley and the big thing that we kind of liked about BPMD was that BPMD really made the songs their own for the most part. I think we mostly complimented them in their ability to twist the songs to their own style, mm-hmm. whereas Ace Frehley just kind of played the songs and there wasn't that much differentiation from the originals. I have to say, listening to those first three songs from Yorn, that
the only reason you're doing that is because his last name is Land.
I don't know.
Land.
What you're talking. Land. Running gags. We love him. I really think that, like, I mean, not that his style is really like out there. I mean, it's a power metal style, but I think that he's making these songs. Like, I know there's something going on. Like, he really amped that up.
Oh man, that is by far. We open this up with my favorite track. So yeah, I Know There's Something Going On is a great cover, and he did make it, that one his own for sure. Mm.
I think all three he really made his own, and you know, he played it in the style that he plays his music.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciated that. I mean, the whole I'm going to be very complimentary of this whole album as we go through it, that I really think he went out of his way to put his own stink on all these songs without them being too far away from the original.
Yeah, and he's jumping into different genres compared to what we've listened to in the previous two albums. He starts off with Frida, who is associated with ABBA. She was one of the singers from ABBA, and the Kate Bush song, she sang pop songs mostly. So he's taking these, he's not afraid to go into genres that are a little bit different than power metal, but they sound great being sung by Yorn and being played here. They fit well. So he did a fine job picking songs that would sound good with the experience and the genre that he is in.
I can certainly appreciate somebody who recognizes that while you may be a heavy metal musician and heavy metal is where you take inspiration from for your own art, that we all just don't dig into one well. You know, like, I grew up listening to rap music, but, you know, then I also got into metal. But I grew up listening to 50s because that's what was played in my home. And then there were show tunes. And so, you know, like, when Chris Sheehan asked me, like, what's the soundtrack to your life? It had everything from, like, Pantera to Evita on there because that was a part of my life. And Whitesnake. Because those songs were various parts of my life.
Yeah, sure.
So I certainly appreciate that about Yorn, that he's not afraid to be like, yeah, Kate Bush. It's all right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Foreigner doesn't seem too off the beaten path, but the first two, and I really do like that first song. I remember just starting the album and immediately sending you a text going, wow, this is the way to start this off. This is actually really, really good.
Yeah, but then when you got to Hotel California, you didn't need to mail me your pants.
Sopping wet, too.
Yeah. I was like, what is this?
I can't wait to... I mean, hey, everybody has an affinity for that song. So, it seems like when we get to that one, he did what he was supposed to do with that song. So we'll talk about it here as we get to it. But
right.
Yeah, first three, hey, we're doing good.
All right, so the next three are You're the Voice by John Farnham from 1986. Speaking of Ace Frehley, Live to Win by Paul
mm-hmm.
Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
And the karaoke classic, every drunk girl's theme, every drunk guy's theme, Jesse, Don't Fucking Stop Believing, Baby.
That's right. That's right.
Here we go. You know who that's by.
Oh, yes. Journey.
Just to turn the pages over. Living
I heard a rumor that you were a small town girl living in a lonely world.
As a matter of fact, I am. How did you know? Unbelievable. Who's sharing my secrets?
Let me tell you something. Between You're the Voice, Live to Win, and Don't Stop Believing, I'm so happy right now, I don't even know what to do with myself.
It's like, interesting.
My mouth is in pain. I've had nothing but bad luck with my health this whole year. COVID. There's a lot for me to feel sorry for myself and feel shitty about. But I listened to this album, and those, especially those last three songs, and I'm like, wow, I'm so happy I could cry.
There is really a powerful positive message in those three songs.
Oh, shit. Shit, yeah, man.
You're the Voice, like you said, came out in 1986 from John Farnham. The Live to Win, great message as well. Remember, this album was released in 2016. He only goes back 10 years to grab a song off of a Paul Stanley album, which I find that interesting because that song must speak to him. Mm-hmm. Because Paul Stanley has three solo albums. The one prior to 2006, I think, was released in either 78 or 79. So, you know, that song must have said something to Jorn. And then, I mean, Don't Stop Believing. What?
So
I don't think I have to say anything.
3 minutes and 37 seconds into that was when we finally get to the chorus, by the way. Which I never realized before.
That's a long one.
It's so good, though. I mean, like, it's a cliched power rock bar song. You know, it's kind of like going down to the South and hearing Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yep.
You know, you can't argue with the classics. It's so, I mean, if you don't like Don't Stop Believing, you have no soul.
So true, so true.
And he did a great job with all three of these.
Yeah, Don't Stop Believing, iconic. He didn't have to do a whole lot different to make it work, and he did still have what I think is his stamp on it. Live to Win, I'd never heard the song before. He did a fine job, in my opinion, with his cover, based off of what I heard. And You're the Voice, which that feels still, it still feels like that is something that belongs in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. It has that feeling to it. And again, he's going to different genres and subgenres. Like You're the Voice, John Farnham's known for, according to the wiki, soft and pop, and it's nothing that you would feel would belong being done by somebody in a power metal band. But again, he did a fine job.
We complain so much about so many albums, you know. We can be very critical. This has been pure joy so far. I have no complaints.
Yeah. No complaints. No complaints.
All right, moving on. The next three are Killer Queen by, of course, Queen. Mm-hmm. From 1974. Jesse's favorite song, Hotel California by the Eagles.
I'll keep my pants on, I promise.
And speaking of keeping your pants on, Rainbow in the Dark by fucking Ronnie James Dio.
Hell yeah, dude.
When there's lightning. I don't know why I'm singing it that way.
It always brings me down.
Oh. All right, here we go, sir. Killer Queen, Hotel California, and Rainbow in the Dark. Keeps mowing a Shondell in a pretty cabinet. Left on eat cake, she says, just like Mary Antoinette. Built-in remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. At any time, an irritation you can decline. Caviar and cigarettes, well versed in etiquette. Extraordinarily nice. She's a killer. She never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Lemon, China, went down to Geisha Minor. Then again, incidentally, if you're that way, Okay, so Hotel California kicks all the ass.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. It really is.
They really heavied it up, you know, and it gave it some grit and grime.
Yes, they did. They did. And just to kind of give you an idea as to why I gravitate toward that song, number one, it's a great classic rock song. I mean, you can't get past that. And if you go to the Eagles on Spotify, I wonder what the most listened to song by the Eagles is. Oh my goodness, it's Hotel California. But
did your daddy turn you on to the Eagles?
I probably
did. You guys used to hang out in the driveway fixing cars, listening to Hotel California.
Z106, baby. Put it on the radio. Let's listen. The science, there's like this weird science fiction element to it. And I was just reading on the Wikipedia as to what goes into the song. For a while, I thought it was, and this may be something I've read as well, but it was like an allegory for drug use and getting addicted to drugs and not being able to surpass that addiction. But it looks like the composition elements they wanted to just write something that started out like a Twilight Zone episode, which, yeah, I get that feeling. So when you listen to the lyrics, it's very strange and esoteric and weird. But again, I mean, my goodness, it's Hotel California. It's a great song. And yeah, he did heavy it up, and he did a fine job with it, and I'd listen to that cover any day. I don't know if it's going to be my top cover off of here, because are we covering the three at the end? Which, mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So, yes, then I think my favorite might be coming up. But this one's up there, dude, Hotel California. What were the other two here? I mean, they were like Killer Queen, which is...
It was fine.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it was fine. Like, he didn't differentiate it enough for me from the original Killer Queen. Like, it's not bad. It's just he did Killer Queen.
Yeah.
Like, and Hotel California, he heavied up. Killer Queen, he just played straight.
It's Queen all over. It's immediately recognizable,
mm-hmm.
as that song, and it doesn't drift too far from what it originally was.
And then Rainbow in the Dark, he also just plays straight. I mean, Rainbow, like go back and listen to his Dio album. It's really good, but he's playing Dio, you know, and like he doesn't really do anything with it. He just sort of plays it straight, and he gives it a lot of power. And he's got a great voice, and you know, and there's a lot of gravitas that he lends to the music, but I can't say that it wows me the way that like Hotel California or Live to Win do.
Not everybody's going to be able to do Dio, that's for sure. So, mm-hmm. You know, props to Yorn for taking that on, and he did a fine job. But yeah, Hotel California, you know, chef's kiss, as they say.
Oh,
oh my.
All right, here we go with the last three songs of the evening. We've got The Final Frontier by Iron Maiden, Stormbringer by Deep Purple, and Die Young by Black Sabbath. Here we go. make you bleed. Stormbringer. Wow.
Yeah. Stormbringer coming. You know what's interesting about that track is that I don't think I've heard the original by Deep Purple. Mm-hmm. And going into that song, I was like, this song is really familiar. If I've never listened to the Deep Purple version, where have I heard this before? And I'll tell you exactly where, because Grand Magus released Sword Songs almost a month before this album came out, May 13th, 2016. We covered it on this podcast. I don't know if I was part of it, but I know that you guys did talk about this album. And sure enough, final song, 11th track, was Grand Magus' cover of Stormbringer. And that's where I knew it from. That whole album kicked ass, but that song right there, great job by Grand Magus, great job by Jorn.
Yeah, man, this whole album was pretty kick-ass. I'm glad that we went back in the Wayback Machine. How far back? A little ways back.
It's only 4 years back.
And we reviewed it here tonight for your listening pleasure. I had a good time with it. Made me really happy. You know, I was willing to suffer through a little bit of pain in my jaw to get through this. But it was well worth it. Well worth it, Jesse.
I agree. I agree 100%. I look forward to the sequel, sir.
Got some interesting ones on here. New York Minute, Nightlife,
really?
Quinn the Eskimo, The Mighty Quinn. Some remastered tracks. We might not do those.
Some very interesting.
Here. Yeah. Rhythm of the Heat. It was the heat of the moment. That's a different song.
Okay, thank you. So right, Heavy man. Rock, is it Heavy Rock 2? Is that what we look forward to? Is that what it's called? Heavy Rock 2?
Heavy Rock Radio 2, Executing the Classics.
There we go, Heavy Rock Radio. There we go. All right, yeah, I enjoyed myself. I will definitely pull a few of these covers and put them on a playlist at some point. So that's a win for Jorn, in my opinion.
Well, I didn't get to say a whole lot because my computer was acting up, but Alexis, Andrew Graham, and David Wright tackled Lucifer seasons 1 through 5.0. Myself, Chris Sheehan, and Alexis looked at Lucifer volume 1, Devil in the Gateway. And then on Thursday, which is tomorrow, myself and Robert Winfrey are going to look at The Babadook.
The Babadook. Duke, a Babadook, Duke.
Baba, shooby-doo-bop. Babadook. Last week, myself and Alexis Haina looked at Wonder Woman, The True Amazon. Me and Du Bois, the Podsman, we looked at NXT TakeOver. We've run out of ideas.
That's an interesting title. Have you guys reviewed Foo Foo the Snooze, gay, ambiguously gay grappling section?
I did talk about it.
Okay, great.
We didn't do a full review, but I definitely talked about the twink gauntlet.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
And then, of course, you and I did Ace Frehley Origins. Next week, we've got Betty Page, the Halloween specials. We're going to do some boxing. We're going to look at the Forgotten Sons, all the different title holders from the different alphabet leagues in boxing. And then we're back here on the Metal Hammer of Doom for Heavy Rock Radio 2, executing the classics. Oh, boy.
Spectacular.
You got anything else to say? Otherwise, say goodnight, Greasy.
You can catch a new episode of Unspoken Issues coming at you on the 31st of October or right around that time. We picked a nice, spooky, fun comic book to talk about from the 1990s, Ghost Rider Volume 3, number 25. Some good stuff happening there. It'll be me and Chris Armstrong. But other than that, no, I have nothing else to plug. Let's get on out of here. Let's get out the door.
All right, folks, thanks for joining us here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. Until next week, be well, be safe, and behave.